Well, as you know, we've been studying the book of Daniel for the last several weeks. We'll continue that probably for at least another 3 weeks. And thus far in our study of Daniel, I don't think that it's been easy. But in comparison with these of Daniel's ninth chapter, which we're going to be looking at today, the difficulties have been relatively simple up to this point. And I want to just caution you, don't get confused or discouraged by some of the things that we're going to look at today, because there's another lesson involved in what we're going to be studying as it lends credence to other parts of the Old Testament. Prior to chapter 9, Daniel's increasing concern has been the prophetic future and that which concerns the little horn, which is one of the 10 toes at the end times, against his people in the end. It has made him actually sick. We read there in the last verses of the last chapter where it changed his countenance. He became very sober when he realized what was happening to the nation as a result of them failing to believe God and what was going to happen to them over the coming centuries to come. As we have seen, it has been taught that past history foreshadows future events. Let me say that again. Past history foreshadows future events in Scripture. And we are therefore prepared to find that a 70-year period of this Jerusalem and its desolation and Israel's captivity all correspond to a period of 70 sevens here in the ninth chapter. And those 70 sevens eventually will give us some understanding of the end times. Actually, the next four chapters, 9, 10, 11, and 12, form one section of the book of Daniel pretty much as a whole to itself. I actually refer to it, this is my word, I refer to it as the Holy Grail of Bible prophecy. And believe me, it is not easy. But, and the other thing is, you don't have to really be able to list these dates and so forth. I have a list here of my notes that I put all of these dates in an order, and then I marked with color pens each of the sections in order to get a picture of it. I can't remember all the dates myself. I can't remember all the orders, but what it tells me is, it tells me something else about Scripture. It tells me about the Old Testament and how these writers are all writing at different times and covering the same subject and the same dates as a result. So, in our return to the book of Daniel, we still are looking at the overall theme of the book of Daniel, and that is the time of the end is what it's showing, the time. And everyone, of course, wants to know what's going to happen. Everybody's reading the book of Revelation, trying to figure out what's going to be in the end. You better know what Daniel's talking about, or you'll never get it right. You won't even have a sense of what's going to happen. And we have seen that Daniel was a prophet himself, who had been granted spiritual ability to see or to perceive or to prophesy. He saw, of course, first the meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He was able to interpret that. and to understand two visions dealing with the end of God's indignation with Israel. And it's with these events that the ninth chapter opens, linking them, and this is what's important, linking them to Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied this before Daniel, before it was written. So Daniel learns, turn in your Bibles to now to Daniel chapter 9, if you're not already there. Daniel chapter 9. And believe it or not, we're only going to cover two verses of Daniel today. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel somehow got a copy of Jeremiah's writings. And I want to point out there the fact that desolations is plural. You wouldn't think of that if it wasn't plural there. You would think of this desolation as being just one period of time. Now, at that time, Daniel, when he reads Jeremiah, 53 years has passed since he was taken captive himself. And he learned at that point that there was 17 more years to go in this captivity in which he was a part of. So he read Jeremiah. We ought to be reading Jeremiah as well, as long as along a lot of other places in the scripture that we're going to look at today. And like I say, it kind of becomes a bit confusing, but I want to point out how all these writers of the Old Testament scripture are writing about the same stories, one story. So he learned he had 17 years to go. One of the reasons that people fail to understand scripture is that they do not realize that it is dealing with one complete storyline and that it is not merely a bunch of disconnected subjects, but rather a cumulative storyline told, prophesied, confirmed by Scripture and by secular history as well. And we've seen some of that already in our study. By many writers over centuries, yet all pointing to the same person and the same subject. Therefore, the purpose and plan for the ages as developed by God Himself through His Son, Christ Jesus. It therefore behooves us to cross-check the writers, because each in their own time provide pertinent information to the ever-unfolding storyline. Consequently, we need here to understand and to see for credence of Scripture that Jeremiah wrote that which Daniel eventually read and was able to advance his understanding with regard to what was going to be happening throughout history, and provides the information that we see here in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. So, turn, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 25. And I'm going to be picking out some of these things that are written by the other writers of the Old Testament to show how they all are on the same page. Jeremiah chapter 25. Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. See, he's getting all this lined up. We've read about this Nebuchadnezzar in his first year back in the first chapter of Daniel. The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, by the way, my servant, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations around about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an abomination, an astonishment, and a hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolate and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Daniel read that, and he was 53 years into that process, understanding he had 17 more to go before this particular 70-year period was transpired. So here, Jeremiah prophesied it, and the families of the northern tribes, which were many, Daniel included, prophesied to serve 70 years, and that occurred 496 to 426 BC. It was, as we read, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, as we read in first chapter, in the third year of the king Jehoiakim, and it ended with Darius the Mede from Persia when he came in and took Babylon. That's the first two kingdoms that are mentioned there in Nebuchadnezzar's first dream, Babylon and Persia. They both became great powers at the same time, both over the nation at the same time towards the end of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. It ended, of course, as we saw earlier, with Darius the Mede from Persia when he took Babylon in 426 BC. Now, the thing that gets confusing is that there in Daniel, it is talked about servitude, a captivity, and a desolations. There are three distinct periods of 70 years that must be kept separate to avoid confusion. And it gets very complex, and you almost have to, like I say, put these dates in a chronological order and then start plugging in each of these 70-year periods. The one, of course, is the servitude Daniel was serving versus the captivity of the king, Jehoiakim, which was another different 7-year period because Daniel was taken captive in the first siege to Babylon. There was a second siege until Nebuchadnezzar was able to run over the king and the army and everybody else. And so that 70-year period of Jehoiakim is another 70-year period of captivity. And then also the desolation of Jerusalem. How long will that city lay there with no inhabitants? And that's another 70-year period. All are 70 years, but different in their start and their end. The servitude, Daniel's servitude, began in Nebuchadnezzar's first year and ended with the fall of Babylon, started in 496 BC when Daniel went to Babylon, and ended in 426 BC. Now, the captivity, which is not the servitude 70 years, but the captivity is dated by Ezekiel, another writer of the Old Testament. Ezekiel dates the time, and we can see his dating is correspondent with everybody else. But the prophecy was prophesied by Jeremiah in chapter 29 of Jeremiah. So turn now to Jeremiah chapter 29. We will read 25. We're going to look at 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. This is additional information that Daniel was able to learn from having gotten a copy of Jeremiah's writings. Jeremiah 21, chapter 1. Or verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captive, and to the priest, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king and queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, to whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them. That's what they are to do while they're there captive. In other words, almost live a normal life while they're there. And that's eventually really what happened. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to carry away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus, in other words, in the time of trouble, you continue your life in normal. You want to have a peace? go about your daily lives, love one another. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which he caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. That's speaking 2,000 years later. And in the process of those, we have seen these things that the prophets have said happened. That lends credence to the scripture, because not only have they prophesied it, but over the 1,000 years since, we see these things coming true as a result of these nations' history and the dates that are given for these kings and so forth have all fallen into place in an order. Daniel now knows. This is what he's referring to in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. That is prophesied. But who dated it? How do we know the date? Well, Ezekiel, we find the dates then verified over in 2 Kings. So go over to 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings chapter 24, if you've got a companion Bible, it's on 527. 2 Kings chapter 24. And we'll jump down in that 24th chapter. If you notice, even starting the chapter, it says, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jehoiakim. We'll skip even the first part of the chapter, but he's already talking about what's going to happen. But we want to read down, beginning with, just to shorten up here a bit, we want to read starting with verse 8. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign. That's the king of Judah. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign, and he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained save the poorest sort of people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin, Babylon, the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the men of might, even 7,000, and the craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, and all were strong and apt for war, and them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. 7 years, if you check the dates then, after Daniel's captivity and servitude started in 489 BC, all the rest of that of Babylon, the king and the army, finally was all captive and taken to Babylon. Consequently, when the servitude of Daniel ended, the captivity had lasted only 63 years. And of course, then it ended 7 years later at 419 BC. Now, I can hear you all thinking, why do I need to know all that, Redmond? Well, there's two reasons. So that some Sharpie will tell you that Scripture is not accurate. For example, one place it says 70 years, but the dates don't match. But they do match. You're not looking at the same period of time with all of these different dates. Do you remember the lesson that we had some time back on sword and trowel about Nehemiah when he went down to build the new city of Jerusalem? Nehemiah was captive in Babylon, and he was in a place of position apparently at that time like Daniel. He was the king's cupbearer and so forth. He was sad, despondent. The king said, "What's wrong with you? You're not yourself." And he said, "Well, I don't have a city or a country or a land." And the king allowed Nebuchadnezzar to go down and build the city, build the walls. He did the first thing, if you remember. It only took him 52 days to build the wall. Look at back to Daniel now, chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I told you we were only going to look at two verses. We're going to actually look at three. Okay. I want to jump ahead to verse 25 of the ninth chapter. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, that's what Nehemiah was given option to do. That from that time, when was that? Well, these dates all make a difference. We find out that was like 405 BC. Or what, I hope I'm quoting you right there. But then the verse goes on, unto Messiah the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. From the date that was given to Nehemiah to the day was the day in 29 AD that Christ rode into Jerusalem. That's how accurate Scripture is. Nehemiah. We're talking about Nehemiah. Turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1. It's on page 633 if you're using a companion Bible. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah is helping to date it for us. In chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. If you remember our lesson on the sword and the trowel, that's where Nehemiah was. He was there in Shushan, the palace. He was the king's cupbearer. Those things become so important to be able to understand. For example, and this is just going to go in one ear and out the other, but because it takes too much time to go through and deal with all of this, but this allows us to see that this is in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. It's the 42nd year from the beginning of the servitude in 496 BC, 35 years from Jehoiakim's captivity, 23 years from the destruction of Jerusalem, 25 years from the beginning of the desolation. Nehemiah is connected to the 70 years of captivity. So we're looking at servitude, captivity, and desolation. That we look at these different periods of 70 years. And we now can know the exact time of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem that was given to Nehemiah. It was at the end of the captivity when Nehemiah was appointed governor and given rights to go down and build the city. The end of the fifth of these seven sevens was 35 years. More later, when we get to this part of the chapter, I keep saying we're going to look at, it's going to come together as we get farther along in this book. So, the destruction is dated by another writer. Jeremiah prophesied it, but Leviticus dates the desolation. How long will this city lay there, and at what time period, and when will Nehemiah be able to go down there and rebuild the walls? And it's dated in Leviticus. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. You realize how close we're getting back to the beginning of the Scripture, and we're still reading about this same thing? Leviticus chapter 26. Verse 27. Leviticus 26, verse 27. If ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you also in fury, and I will chasten you seven times for your sins, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcass of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate. It shall rest because it did not rest in your Sabbaths, and ye dwell upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts, into the land of the enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and shall fall when none pursueth. Can you imagine how long that was before that actually occurred? And here it's being written about by Leviticus. The desolation. This is what Daniel is referring to in the 9th chapter in the 2nd verse. The desolation. It begins in the 3rd year and lasts the siege that was by Nebuchadnezzar, and the city is desolate from 479 to 409 BC, therefore 70 years. And it is the fulfillment. Where is it fulfilled, and how is that prophesied? It's unbelievable. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36 on page 615. In the Companion Bible. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. Second Chronicles 36, chapter 20. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia, who was who? Darius. Here we find that in 2 Chronicles, scattered throughout the Old Testament. 17 years was yet to reign before Nehemiah. This is confirmed, by the way, by Zechariah. Look at Zechariah chapter 1. It's on page 1281 in the Companion Bible. Zechariah chapter 1. In that chapter 1, look at verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Jerusalem, of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? The exact time that was prophesied, the exact time that history bears out that period of time. Now, if you're not confused, I'm amazed. If you, like I said, you almost have to put this on, commit it to paper, and if I was Alan Naz, I would have had a nice chart for you up there to read. But I do. I couldn't copy this because it's. I wrote it in pencil, but I do have it color quoted on the side, that shows the work that was required to find and put these scriptures in a chronological order. It's a very complex subject matter. And I don't expect everybody to remember it because I can't remember it all myself. I had to commit it to paper. And I probably didn't bring it all together except to show how truth runs through Scripture. I mean, here's an example of prophecy being fulfilled, verified by other prophecy, confirmed by history, and yet there's more of it to come. And the only way that we can understand it is by understanding that which has already occurred. Because why? Because prophecy, past prophecy, foreshadows future events. We've seen some of them already happen with this prophecy, and there's more to come. And that's what everybody wants to know. What's Revelation talking about? Well, we'll have a better means to understand it as we've looked at some of this past to see how much credence is given to this prophecy by what's already occurred. Shows the depth of Scripture and the accuracy of Scripture. This in turn adds credence to what God has left us. It adds to our faith, knowing more and more about His ways and plans for the ages. Next week, we'll pick up on the prayer of Daniel, which follows these first two verses, and we'll see what Daniel prays about. Let's pray ourselves. Father, we thank You that You love us. We're thankful that You are mindful of us. We're thankful that You have left us a record that we can have confidence to know that You do have a plan and a purpose for the ages, and that we can understand and know more as a result of this written word. Pray that we all will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of You, and that we all will here be rooted and grounded in Your love towards one another. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.